welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast with the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor or owner, just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And I love how our intro presumes there's only actors, owners, and aficionados, not engineers, not designers. I might be in a mood today.
I think it's in the whole haunt family.
We want to be every haunters podcast.
Yes.
Not just the actors, owners, and aficionados, but we don't have time to list everyone in the intro.
That's a long list.
It is a very long list. But anyways, we are back, and I'm in a mood. It's been a long weekend, but we are going to continue our holiday tradition around here.
Yes.
In which we sit around the campfire, of which we have none. And
I have eggnog, so that's Christmas.
I have
coffee.
Milk coffee out of a can from Hong Kong Market. Mm-hmm. So we're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but yes, and discuss some haunt-related Christmas traditions and holiday traditions.
Yes.
Winter holiday traditions in general.
Yes.
That are horror and haunt related, and basically we find them entertaining.
Yeah, and some of these we didn't know where they started.
Yes, and you know, the thing I've learned in doing these over the years,
I was about to say, we've only done one other.
Is Christmas is a lot goddamn scarier than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Because it's weird, because I know a lot of haunters, and I know you probably feel the same way. Mm-hmm. We get through haunt season, and then it's just like a slow slide into not our favorite holidays.
Yeah.
You have the post-holiday, post-Halloween come down, and then it's like you're just descending into what seems like the anti-Halloween.
Yes, it is hell.
and it makes you allergic and want to die.
Yes.
Because, you know, you have allergies to, like, everything Christmas-related.
Yep.
But the point of the matter is, I know we all experience that, but it turns out Christmas has some pretty cool stuff. Yeah. And we're going to discuss some of that cool stuff.
Okay.
In this episode. But before we get to that, first, do take a moment, if you have not done so, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are at Haunt Weekly on both. That's Facebook.com/HauntWeekly and Twitter.com/HauntWeekly. We are also at HauntWeekly.com and also at tinyurl.com/HauntWeekly. You can find our YouTube channel. And
yes.
There we have lists and all the episodes, the complete backlog is available there. Backlog indeed.
Yeah.
Back slog, maybe more like it. But yes, do all that fun stuff. Subscribe at all those wonderful places. Keep up to date on what we're doing. You won't be sorry, or you probably will. I don't know. I'm not your parent. But anyways, we also have conference reminders. Crystal, will you do the honors?
Sure. I could do that. First off, coming up January 12th through the 15th is HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo right here in New Orleans at the Ernest Inn Memorial Convention Center. They will be touring Rye's Haunted House, both lights on and lights off tour, the Museum of Death, Demented Design Factory, escape rooms at the mortuary. Also, the mortuary, in addition to that,
has been added as a haunt tour.
Right. And it includes a Bourbon Street pub crawl, and obviously the costume ball that they have every year.
Yes.
You can find out more at HauntCon.com.
And as a reminder, not only will we be there, because it is literally across the river from
right.
us, but I will be speaking at said event. I have two talks.
Yes.
That will be coming up. One on how to build a website that will sell your haunt, and another on copyright and trademark for haunters. I actually gave the copyright and trademark haunters talk at HauntCon 2 years ago.
Right.
And looking forward to doing it again. Some really great stuff in there. Looking forward to imparting some knowledge and wisdom upon the haunted attraction community. You know, other than what we do here.
Right.
Which is definitely not imparting wisdom here.
No, this is just rambling.
This is
madness.
The opposite of whatever I'm doing there.
Sometimes there's glimmers of hope.
Yeah, yes. Here, I'll have PowerPoints and
yes.
stuff. Be visual and 3D, and
yes.
I'll be 3D. The PowerPoint slides won't be.
Well, yeah.
All right. Beyond that, March 1st through the 3rd, it's the Maize Chicago Corn Parade. It's M-A-I-Z-E in Chicago, Illinois. At the Chicago Marriott Southwest at Burr Ridge, it'll feature tours of Kepler's Family Farm, Genomac Orchard, and Gobert's, and more. Learn more at themaize.com. And having been up in that area not that long ago, I can see why there's a lot of goddamn corn mazes.
Yeah. It apparently grows with a sneeze. So
what the hell expression is that?
I don't know.
I have never heard that expression.
It made sense at that time. It
grows with a sneeze.
Yes.
That sounds so beautifully folksy and so made up at the same time.
And it is.
There you go. Carry on.
Next is March 22nd through the 25th, Transworld Halloween and Attraction Show at the St. Louis, Missouri America Center. Pre-convention bus tour visiting Nashville Nightmare and Talon Falls offers a voodoo soiree on Saturday night, and you can find out more about that at thehashow.com, H-A-A-S-H-O-W.
Yes, everyone says this is the big one. We got to get our butts there at some point, but it always comes at such a rough time of year for us.
Well, yeah, it does. Like, I know for a fact that I can't go this year.
Yeah.
Because
and,
work.
And exams, right?
Yeah, there's some big work things going on. That, and, you know, I used up a lot whenever Halloween's during the week. I use up more of my vacation time, so I don't have as much to spend.
Yes. Well, after that, April 13th through the 15th in Portland, Oregon, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention at the DoubleTree Hotel, Portland. It will include Nightmare After WC, the West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival, which will feature a surprise selection of films. Learn more at hauntersconvention.com.
Okay, May 18th through the 20th. A Halloween show and National Haunters Convention presents Halloween Boardwalk Empire in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Showboat Convention Center features zombie volleyball, a hearse show, a costume ball, and much more. Find out what that more is at HalloweenShow.com.
I still say zombie volleyball is a terrible goddamn idea.
It is.
It doesn't matter what. See, the thing about it is this. It doesn't matter what universe zombies you go after.
Yeah.
None are known for their precision and delicacy.
No. Or keeping their limbs.
Like, basically, you never see, like, zombie watchmakers.
No.
Or anything like that. And volleyball is a sport about precision.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out.
Yeah.
I'm not a volleyball expert, but I played it some, and I know it's like the one sport that like non-athletic kids like me could exceed at because we were very used to precise movements because I played a lot of video games.
Oh, yeah. No, I was great at volleyball also because I have a lot of power in my arms and could scare all the little girls on the other side. So
girls volleyball is very different than boys volleyball. I'm going to take a stab right now.
Okay.
All right, and the final one for our trip this week is the Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio, May 25th through 27th. It is at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. Don't forget, not the Lesser Columbus Convention Center,
no.
The Greater Columbus Convention
yes.
Center. It'll feature a masquerade party, a zombie walk, and a pre-convention bus tour. Haunts TBAA, give them time. It's December. This haunt tour doesn't start till late May. Find out more at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Yes.
Alright, that is it for our haunt reminders right now. Now, as we talked about last year, right around this time,
yep.
We sat down and we covered some haunted, you know, some anti-Santa Clauses, basically.
Yes, I believe
Christmas
we called
demons.
Them Christmas monsters.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we pretty much burned through the Christmas monsters.
No, we didn't. But that's okay, because, you know, there's other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we got through a lot of the Christmas
we
monsters.
We did. The major ones, definitely.
Yeah, definitely the major ones. But we were thinking about what we could do this year, because we like to take this week kind of off a little bit.
Right.
I'm talking about haunted attraction stuff. So what can we do this year? And it turns out a lot of haunted a lot of haunt traditions definitely have messed up origins.
Yeah.
But a lot of Christmas traditions do, too.
Yes.
Wow, that sentence was going to be strangely prophetic.
Yes.
Tell us about your messed up haunt traditions at Haunt Weekly on Facebook and Twitter. We'll probably not tell anyone about them.
Well, they may see them if they're, you know, comments.
Yeah, that's true.
On our Facebook or our YouTube.
Fair enough. But yeah, so this time we want to take a look at some of the Christmas traditions and some other related things that maybe have slightly spookier origins than you might realize.
Yeah, and this is a pretty weird mix of things.
Yeah.
I was trying to start out with a theme, but then it just kind of fell apart, but I found some cool stuff.
So, yeah. We'll start with a tradition that's definitely come under fire this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mistletoe. Yeah. Crystal, why don't you explain mistletoe's origin?
Okay, well, it's long been placed above doorways for several reasons. One was that it was supposed to bring good luck and love to the household. And of course, everybody knows now that that's grown into a kissing your, you know, your prospective
partner.
Plant
is not consent.
No, it is not. Now, you know, so if you see someone under a mistletoe, you're supposed to go and kiss them. So that's weird and terrifying in its own right. I used to run away from mistletoe.
Well, A, you're supposed to run away from everything that's live and Christmas-related in your case.
Well, yeah. That's different. Mistletoe, I don't think I'm allergic to.
You're just allergic to the response it gets.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, but it is said to have mystical powers and ward off evil spirits, so people leave it up year-round. They'll put it up when it's fresh at Christmas time, and then leave the dried-up stuff way into the year.
Yeah, that's I never actually heard about leaving it up year round.
Yeah, but what
mistletoe dies really quick.
It does.
It dies like super fast. Like I know it's been separated and you don't water it when you hang it and stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, mistletoe is like it's a ball of brown mess and like
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we have dead plants in our house, but you know, that's us. One thing that I did find really interesting was in Norse mythology, Loki tricked the blind god Hodor into murdering Baldur with an arrow made of mistletoe. Hmm. So there is a murder involved in the mistletoe mystery,
okay.
Being the only plant to which Baldur was vulnerable.
And meanwhile, in modern times, Loki can't even trick his way into one of the better Avenger movies.
Oh, yeah. So basically, mistletoe, because somehow the plant felt bad for being the arrow that killed Baldur, has now trying to make up for itself by becoming peace and friendship. It's a little odd.
You know, the one thing about Norse mythology in general, and this, I'm admittedly not any kind of an expert on it at all.
Yeah.
I've only taken, like, a very, very minor fascination with it. But one thing that is very obvious from a little bit I've read is that Norse mythology, everything has feelings and a personality.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's like every little rock, every little plant.
Well, and I mean, even in some religions today, that's kind of taught that God isn't everything, right? So, it, you know,
yeah, they
maybe
just take it to the next level by completely personifying it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it makes a little bit of sense.
But I do like that idea that, you know, basically mistletoe was a plant for a supreme act of violence. Hey, making an arrow out of mistletoe sounds like a lot of goddamn work.
It does. Yeah.
But anyways, it goes from being a weapon of ultimate violence, and it decides to mend its ways.
Yeah.
And itself. And basically try to become a symbol for friendship. And that reminds me of Nobel.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Nobel Prize fame.
Right.
Because, trying to remember what his real first name was.
Yes. Well, Nobel did not kill a god.
No, he did not kill a god.
But, yes, I get where you're going.
Yeah, Howard, that's not the right name. But anyways, it's going to kill me until I can find it.
All right.
But anyways, the long story short, the Nobel Prize...
Alfred,
was named after Alfred Nobel. God, I couldn't think of that. It was named after Alfred Nobel. No, he was the inventor of dynamite.
Right.
Which was, of course, used very heavily in wartime.
Yeah.
And he famously saw his own A newspaper made a mistake and printed his obituary,
yeah.
even though he hadn't died. Because things like that happened.
Yes.
A lot more back then. You think the meme crap we have now, where like we report on Facebook that someone's dead, like the whole thing that happened with Charles Manson recently.
Right.
Where like everyone was saying like the day before he had died or some weird stuff like that.
Yeah, it was like a week, I think.
Well, yeah, the point is, back then it used to happen all the time in newspapers.
Yeah. Well, and actually, Marilyn Manson was supposed to have died from that mishap at the concert.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, it came out. No, he was fine.
He just broke his leg. It was...
Yeah. Okay, so not but fine, anyway. But not dead.
Yeah. But anyways, Alfred Nobel saw that and saw the horrible things this newspaper wrote about him.
Right.
And went, oh, crap, I should think about my legacy.
Yeah, maybe.
And he took some of his fortune and founded the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess we're seeing mistletoe follow the Alfred Nobel line of logic.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, what do you associate Nobel with now?
The Nobel Prize.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished, I guess. Good work. All right. Next item up to bid, candles in the window. Now, this is interesting. I did not realize this was a year-round tradition.
Yes.
And they basically, the whole idea was you place candles in the window in hopes of keeping away evil spirits.
Yes.
But, and that's kind of like the general overarching
thing. Right.
But apparently it has special meaning on Christmas Eve night.
There's a special candle called the Christmas candle.
Now, do you know, because you did most of this research, you did all this research, not most. screw that, don't lie to the people, Jonathan. Now, did you find out anything, like describe the Christmas candle? Was it bigger, more colorful, or was it just like the one you set aside?
I think it's just the one you set aside.
Fair enough.
You say this one's the Christmas one, you don't light it, except for on Christmas.
All right, fair enough.
Christmas Eve at midnight.
But the idea was basically this, that if you lit the candle before you went to bed, basically...
Christmas Eve midnight.
Yeah, Christmas Eve at midnight, before you went to bed, and it was out before you got up in the morning.
Right.
Then it was bad luck. It was a sign of bad luck.
Yep, for the next year.
And that kind of sucks. I mean, what if you had a drafty house?
Yes, I know. Well, and those old houses weren't they? So, but another thing about it is that if you lit the candle and there was like people around and it was casting shadows,
mm-hmm.
and one of the people didn't have a head on its shadow, that person was dying.
In the next year.
Within the next year, yeah.
Now, which is bizarre because we now know what causes shadows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think one of the problems we have when reading back, and we have to realize that people didn't understand things that we take for granted.
Right.
Like, the people used to bet on gravity.
Yes.
Never forget that.
It's just mind-blowing.
If you think people are stupid now, remember, at one point, they would actively bet on gravity.
Yeah.
You know, like a guy holds up a ball and says, take a bet, whether it's going to float away or drift off or go down. Oh, it went down to the ground again.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, talking about stupid things that we've learned since, back to mistletoe for just a second, one of the stories I read... was that the girl who was in love with the crush would eat one of the berries. Mistletoe being, of course...
highly poisonous.
Highly poisonous. And inscribe his name on the mistletoe leaf and pin it inside of her corset for the year.
So she poisoned herself.
Yes, and then put his name over her heart. I mean, in order for a love spell.
I'm guessing one berry's not enough to kill...
Well, I think that it was one berry a night for, like, until the berries were gone. So, you know, the brightest was,
you know, this
not...
is how you make me feel better about 2017. Tell me about all the stupid shit people did in previous years.
Well, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of evolution because they would have been dead before they could breed. So
we hope. But yeah, apparently there was a lot of stupid crap around mistletoe.
Right. Okay.
Which, I mean, think about it, it is really messed up. That this very terrible looking...
Right.
...quickly shrivels up and dies, poisonous plant...
Yep.
...became a symbol of love. I think it's actually much more apt as a symbol for the arrow that pierced some god's heart.
Yeah.
I think it's much more appropriate for that. I think the Norse had it right.
Yeah, I think so. All right.
Anyway.
So next on our list is door flinging.
All right, now this you're going to have to explain to me.
Okay, basically you wake up early Christmas morning, you fling open your door.
Oh, so like in the play, I threw open the shutters to see what the smell of that.
Yeah, yeah, but you throw open the door.
No, you don't throw up and then...
Yes, exactly. To let out all of the evil spirits that have been trapped inside the house by welcoming Christmas and Santa Claus inside. Well, Santa Claus. But, yes, that was the evil...
These evil spirits that were trapped in your house all year,
yeah.
Specifically says all year,
yeah.
Are just gonna, like, leave now?
Yeah.
So you've, like, been accumulating evil spirits all year.
Yes.
Like, some kind of, like... I guess cosmic disc defrag here. You're gonna
yeah
throw open the doors,
or like in Ghostbusters, you just have the traps everywhere that you're holding evil. Your house is the trap from Ghostbusters.
Oh well,
so
and this is you evicting them somehow.
Exactly. This is when they get out and they go out all over the city.
I gotta be honest. I had not actually, other than what I just mentioned with the plays, and
right.
Actually, it's not the only play that mentioned it. It's not a play. I mean, not a poem. I'm sorry. Not the only poem that mentioned it, but also was mentioned in the book A Christmas Carol.
Right.
Because when Scrooge wakes up and
yeah.
participates in the door flinging.
Right.
And partly because he's really goddamn confused what day it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 3 time traveling ghosts will do that to a guy.
Yeah, it will.
So, yeah, I had no idea that there was a tradition there that had anything to do with letting evil spirits out of a house.
Yeah.
I also had no idea my house was accumulating evil spirits all year.
Yeah.
Now... Seeing as how we only have 2 doors we can actually fling.
And we've never done it.
Maybe we should see an exorcist or something?
Yeah, maybe.
I think we're past door flinging at this point.
That's the next step. The other tradition that's closely related to door flinging is sweeping off the entrance doorway to clear out all of the trouble of the past year. Much less dramatic.
Yeah, but you're going to need a goddamn big broom this year, I'm going to tell you what.
Yeah.
Got one of them push brooms?
Well, you know, I should have put the one that's 2 down right after that with that comment.
We can squeeze it out.
Okay.
We can do it. That's hiding your brooms.
Exactly.
Because basically, this is a tradition in Norway where you hide your brooms on Christmas Eve.
Right.
Or else witches and spirits will steal them.
Yes. And ride all over town. They'll go joyriding on your brooms.
Why wouldn't they do that like every other night, though?
I don't know.
I mean, are, like, brooms in Norway, like rifles in the United States, they have to sit in, like, the broom locker?
God. I don't know, but, yeah, it's something that came up a couple of times, and it was just kind of weird.
Yeah, it's very bizarre, because, A, only one night of the year.
Right. But I guess this is where the Halloween witches on broomsticks come from.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, is from this Norway tradition.
Well, yeah, I mean, the tradition of witches riding brooms obviously comes from this era and this style. I mean, we've even seen things like this, like there's certain parts in the Northeast where they have angled windows.
Yeah.
Called the witch windows.
Exactly.
Because witches apparently can't rotate on the Z-axis.
Yeah.
And fly. I don't know.
There are no diagonal flyers here.
Just rotate 45 degrees, you'll get it. I don't...
They also can't get off of their broom and just, like, go in.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, if I were a witch on a broom, I wouldn't be flying through windows.
Right.
The thing is, you've got to the front door.
Yeah.
That's the transportation. I'm not worried about getting into the house.
Right. You can leave all the other windows open, but that witch window has to be closed.
Anyway, but the point of the matter is... Yeah, that's very bizarre, and I've always, these traditions always confuse me, because
yeah.
they're so oddly specific.
Right. Yeah, and I wonder how they got there.
Yeah.
Like, did some prankster, like, put out a broom? It's like, in a tree or something, you know?
Anyways.
It seems funny.
So, caroling.
Caroling.
Brings us back up to caroling.
Yes.
Apparently, snubbing carols on Christmas Eve was stupid.
Yes.
Now, we actually do know this.
Yes.
Because if you listen to the full We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Right.
It, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Basically, it's all about give us crap.
Yes. Yes. Give us crap, and then we will wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And if you don't, basically, you know, Santa's coming to kick your ass when you're getting worms. Maybe act it out in real life.
Well, you know, yeah. And basically what you would do with carolers was you would invite them in, and then the alcohol would come out, and everybody would drink toasts to your health, to your livestock, to your farming, you know, make sure that the crops grow. And so,
which actually puts caroling in a new perspective. Because, like, in 2017, we think about caroling, we're like, oh, it's right. So lame, why would anyone caroling? Because caroling was bar hopping.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a big caroling event going on right now across the river.
Really?
In Jackson Square.
Are they going from house to house drinking booze?
No, but there are booze flowing. Because it's New Orleans, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that is something that it evolved into, was just to go house to house to get booze.
Yeah, basically they were bar hopping. With added steps.
Well, and with free booze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, they had that going for them.
Yeah, so that is an impressive scam, I've got to admit.
Yeah.
All right, now this is one I know you've been wanting to talk about. So why don't you dive into this one?
That's because you don't know how to pronounce it.
Nope,
neither do
not
I.
A clue.
I meant to look it up. But it's the Mary Lid tradition.
Yeah.
It is from South Wales. It is a tradition where you take a horse skull, you decorate it, you get yourself under a sheet after you put the horse skull on a pole. I forgot that part. And then you go around the houses with lots of your friends who are dressed up as traditional characters,
mm-hmm.
Like Punch and Judy. And you knock on doors and you sing for entrance. And then the house people... House owners sing their refusal. And you keep doing this battle of song until either they relent or you relent.
Worst episode of Epic Rap Battles ever.
Yes. If they relent, you get to go in and have food and drink and be merry. And if not, you know, you tried.
There's another house.
Exactly. There's another house.
Gotta feel bad for the mute guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's gonna get run roughshod on this one, or the guy that like can't rhyme.
Yeah, exactly. The alternative story was a way to. This was said to be a way to make money. So around Christmas time, everybody likes a little extra pocket change. So you would get the horse skull,
mm-hmm.
and you would be decorated underneath the sheet, and you would go around and bite people in the public square with the horse skull. Which seems terrifying.
It sounds like assault with extra steps to me.
I mean, yes. 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 The extra steps is going to be a thing this time.
Yeah.
So you would basically bite them and they would give you money to stop biting them.
Oh, God. But yeah, apparently this was also somewhat of a competitive sport, too.
Yes.
Because in both versions, people would... try to have the most elaborate costumes and try to decorate up and be the best in their town.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go running around with a horse head on a pole, you want to be the best one with a horse head on a pole.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's also a certain competitive element to this that's interesting.
Right. And this has actually made a resurgence in recent years.
Hopefully in South Wales and not here.
Well, yes. Yes, in South Wales.
Because honestly, I don't think this one sounds very fun.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't like the Irish tradition of caroling either. What they do instead of caroling is they take booze over to the sea and dump it into the sea.
Why would you do that?
To try
That's literal alcohol abuse.
Yes. To try to bribe the sea goddess and gods to give you plenty of fish to catch over the next season.
And all you're going to do is catch drunk fish.
Makes them easier to catch, therefore it's successful.
Unless they, like, drown. Can fish drown?
I don't think fish can drown. I don't know.
Poor fish?
I think fish could drown in, like, a barrel of alcohol, but not in a sea full of water with a little bit of alcohol.
I don't know the alcohol tolerance of fishes.
I don't either.
Have you tested this?
No.
Maybe they can't hold their liquor. Maybe a fish is a cheap date. Have you been
saying? Yeah. Maybe.
On Weekly, where we talk about dating fish.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we should move on. This
maybe
is so. Getting kind of frightening for the wrong reasons here.
Yeah.
Burning devils.
Yes.
Basically, this is from Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you do a full house clean in December.
Right.
And the dirt and the dust that you gather is put into a large pile.
Yep.
That is then burned.
Yes, with the devil statue in the middle of it.
Oh, with the devil statue. Sorry, I forgot.
Yep.
The devil statue in the middle of it.
That's why it's burning devils.
Interestingly, I have a suspicion this is where the term dirt, where the brand name Dirt Devil came from.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I have no proof of that, but that just makes a lot of goddamn sense.
It does. It does make a lot of sense.
I always thought that was a weird brand name. Dirt Devil.
Yeah.
Aren't you someone that's supposed to get rid of dirt?
Yeah, you would think so.
I mean, that's like, you know, naming police, you know, robber devils or something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty odd.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense if you think about it.
Yeah.
So, but
that actually happens on December 7th at 6 p.m. sharp.
Oh, wow. That is very, very cool that it has such a specific time.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. I'm immediately terrified of this.
Okay.
Because I know from very recent experience just how flammable dust is.
Yes. You do.
We actually lit a computer on fire.
Unintentionally.
Basically, we were reconnecting the motherboard to the power supply went out in the computer. We were reconnecting got a new power supply, reconnecting it to the motherboard. And I didn't get one of the connectors, like, all the way on. It didn't click, apparently. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit loose. And so when fired it up for the first time, it threw us a bit of a spark. And this is a very old, very dusty computer, well-loved and well-used.
Right.
And even though I'd blown it out, there was still enough dust hanging around to actually catch the motherboard on fire.
Yeah.
By the way, it is still working.
It is.
That computer is going great, actually.
Yes, it survived. I play games on it.
It survived. I have no idea how, but it did, so here we are.
Yeah. And basically, the purifying element of the Burning Devils invites the feast of the Virgin Mary. Ah. So then it's partying afterwards for, like, forever.
Okay. Well, there's no such thing as a good Christmas tradition that doesn't involve boozing and partying afterward.
Yeah, not really.
It doesn't work. It's just not a good holiday tradition.
Yeah.
It doesn't involve those things. All right. Take us to South Africa, then.
All right. In South Africa, you better not eat Santa's cookies.
What will happen if I eat Santa's cookies like a little dick?
Your grandmother will kill you.
I'd be impressed because you're both already dead.
Yes, well, you're also not a kid and believe in Santa. So...
So the threat there is,
right.
if little Jimmy creeps downstairs
right.
and eats Santa's cookies,
yeah,
like a little sneaky brat he is,
yeah,
his grandmother will kill.
Yeah, well, basically the story goes, the parents tell their kids the story of a little boy who named Danny who did exactly that. His grandmother got enraged and killed him, and now their ghost haunt houses during Christmas.
Wow. A terrible grandmother.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We'll start with the obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just told the milk and cookies were for Santa and not to touch them because he'd be sad. Not that I'd be killed for it.
Yeah, basically it's the same reason you don't eat, like, anybody else's food either.
Right, exactly. Because you don't want to take their food away. Granted, we always made extra cookies.
You know, I always noticed that Santa always got the cookies my dad enjoyed.
Yeah.
And not the cookies I wanted him to have.
Yeah.
Like, why is Santa getting Fig Newtons? Those taste terrible. Santa likes Fig Newtons. Shut up.
Yeah, we would make sugar cookies and decorate them.
Yeah, we did that a couple of years, but...
Yeah.
I mean, as time went on... Our Christmas rituals got a little lazier.
Well, and the thing is, you know, if you think about it, the cookies left out on a plate overnight, it's probably going to get a little bit stale from not being wrapped and stuff.
Yeah.
Fig Newtons start out that way.
That's true. Well, I knew the jig was really up when we were leaving out vanilla wafers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody on the planet other than my father and my uncle like Nilla wafers, okay?
Yeah.
There's no goddamn way Santa prefers Nilla wafers.
Yes. And if you disagree with that statement from Jonathan that nobody else eats vanilla wafers, let us know.
On Weekly and Facebook and Twitter. Oh, God. What have I done? Oh. Which is actually weird. I actually don't hate Nilla Wafers. I just do.
Yeah. I don't.
I do not. My problem is I connect Nilla Wafers with banana pudding.
Yeah.
And I do not like banana pudding at all.
Yeah.
Banana pudding just has a terrible consistency
yes,
for me.
Yes, I think you'll hear more about that than the actual cookies.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so let's decorate a Christmas tree like we're Ukrainian.
Yes, which we unwittingly had done.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, how do we do it? What are the steps?
Well, the steps are, is that you get, you decorate it with spiders and spider webs.
All right. It didn't seem like the Christmas tree was flammable enough, so we had to go and put kindling on it, all right?
Yes, it wasn't kindling already.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So
basically, it's observed through Eastern European countries since the beginning of the month. And it's in Ukraine. And they did this because a poor widow had a bare Christmas tree. And her children sobbed and cried, and saddened by a perspective of an empty tree the next day, the widow hung nuts and fruits on the tree outside the door of their home and prayed for joy for her Christmas. Well, the spiders heard her prayers, and the spiders...
There's a lot of questions about these spiders.
Yes.
I got a lot of questions here.
Yes. So the spiders decorated the tree overnight with beautiful webs for her that glinted like tinsel in the morning sun. And then they brought good fortune. Now, there is another story to this.
Okay.
That not only did the spiders decorate the tree, but after a little bit of time had passed, all of the webs turned into money.
Hmm.
It turned into, silver and gold.
Now ones. I have real questions about these spiders. Yes. Hey, yes. Where do I get some?
Yeah.
I want some of them spiders.
Exactly.
They can hang out in my house all they want. Yep. All the flies you can eat. Come on, guys. You turn those flies into dollars, we're good.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So basically, it was made the family very rich. So then everybody started decorating their trees with spider webs. And that's why the tradition continues today.
Yeah, I just thought we were being weird and gothy.
Yeah.
Who knew we were Ukrainian?
Yeah, I know.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and that's the thing. It's like we talked about how these are such specific traditions.
Yeah.
And that one is definitely on the list of like, really?
Yeah. Well, I wonder what, Kevin Bloody Wilson's family got whenever his granddad sneezed all over the tree.
Oh, God. Well, it's old person snot, according to the song.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the song Hey Santa by Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Right.
If anyone wants to play along,
yeah.
Feel free to look it up. There's a version in Spotify. There's also the YouTube version, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, yeah. So he's an old dude, and God knows what's up that nose.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to witch balls. Now, I did not realize what we think of as the ball ornaments on Christmas trees.
Right.
Were once called witch balls.
Yeah.
And were actually not hung on Christmas trees.
Right.
They were hung in windows.
Yeah, I did not realize this either.
How do people look out their windows year-round? We just talked about, like, five things you put in windows.
They didn't. There.
Why even have the window, then? Why not just board it up?
Yeah, so basically you could have a candle and a witch ball, and some of these were quite heavy, too.
Yeah, no. But the reason, though, they're called witch balls, they're supposed to ward off witches.
Yeah.
And the way they ward off witches, one of the ways, is it's supposed to resemble water.
Right.
And witches, as we all know, don't do water.
Yeah.
Because, water is like a fundamental element of human life, and
yeah,
they're obviously not human.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, apparently it's like the shininess and the sparkliness of the ornament confuses and dazzles the witch.
Yeah.
They think, like, instinctively it's water and they go away.
Yeah.
They naff off.
Yeah, pretty much. So, So just hanging a witch was believed to remove evil influences in a village. So you could hang a witch or you could hang a bunch of balls. So I'm going with the balls.
No, I guess I did. But that sounds A, easier.
Yes.
And B, less deadly.
Yes.
But yeah. So, Wow, hang on. I'm just trying to wrap my head around how we got to hanging a witch.
That was actually a quote directly from the article.
So you can either hang a witch or hang balls in your window.
Yeah. Yes.
What if you don't have a witch handy?
I don't know.
You know, because the witch trial phenomenon, it's really interesting. The Salem witch trials,
right?
If you look at it in historical context, and especially if you look at it toward Europe,
yeah,
the Salem witch trials were nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They were amateur hour for witch trials.
Right.
You want the real stuff, you got to go to Europe about 100 years before.
Right.
Basically, by the time the Salem witch trials happened, the whole witch trial craze was dying down.
Yeah.
You know, you would have hundreds of people burned at the stake in, like, turn towns across Germany and so forth for being a witch there. So, you know, what happens if you're not going through, like, a witch trial and you don't happen to have all these witches around?
I don't know.
What's the plan? I mean, I don't presuppose to know everyone's religion.
Mm-mm.
And I'm sure as hell not going to ask people.
No.
Not at that time. That's how you get hanged.
Exactly. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Well, our last tradition is also one of our most modern.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's one of the few that hangs around today.
Right.
In North America.
As it started.
Kind of
or
in the same vein of how it started.
Yeah.
And it's weird because this is, and we'll talk about it in just a minute, this is a tradition that has gotten a modern revamp.
Right.
If you will.
Yes.
That is the elf on the shelf.
Yes. I have heard of kids this year learning about the elf on the shelf and running in fear and terror and deciding instead to have a skeleton.
Well, you know, it is really damn creepy to think that there is this elf. And them things are creepy, man.
They are.
I mean, we run a haunted house. We go to all these other haunted houses.
Yeah.
There's not much that's that innately creepy to me as the elf on the shelf.
Right.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea that this creepy ass thing sits like the angels
yeah.
from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
The weeping angels. Sits there perfectly motionless until, you know.
You're asleep.
You're asleep. And then it comes alive and then it does some fuckery around the house.
Yeah.
Who knows what it's doing. And then
right.
it's in a different position the next day.
Yeah, in a different room.
What is it doing?
It was goofing off and playing pranks, which is why it was rejected from working in Santa's workshop because he couldn't...
Oh.
It couldn't... It wasn't making toys.
So this is the asshole elf.
Exactly. These are the asshole elves that people are bringing into their homes.
Oh, got it. Well, just think about that, everybody. If you have an elf on the shelf, you literally have brought in the asshole elf into your house.
Exactly.
That's on you.
Exactly.
Ours died.
Yeah.
No, that was a rough year for Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, so basically parents tell their kids that the Elf on the Shelf will tell Santa.
Is reporting back to Santa.
Exactly,
basically.
Is reporting back to Santa. So not only is he the lazy asshole, he's a spy.
Well, and he's a snitch. He's not just a spy,
yeah.
He's a snitch. But this really raises some serious questions about Santa's, you know, making his list and checking it twice stuff.
Right.
Because, you know, I always thought that, you know, when I was growing up, it was that Santa had like a crystal ball or something.
Yeah.
And was like peeping on the kids that way.
Yeah.
But no, apparently he's got a network of tiny annoying elves.
Yeah. Santa's little helpers.
They run around and screw off in people's houses.
Yeah, basically.
But yeah, the thing about this tradition is that it actually did start, the actual basis of this tradition goes way, way back.
Right.
And it's got actually, from what we can see, multiple sort of starting points.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of variations of the, you know, Santa Claus is watching you, here's
right.
how he's doing it
exactly.
in the house.
Yeah.
And in 2017, I think the new iteration just be a security camera, a fake security camera. Like, that's what you do. You go to Harbor Freight. Listen to me on this one. You go to Harbor Freight. They sell, and I know this, they sell fake security cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Big, white, bulky fake security cameras for $7. You go and you paint it with candy cane stripes.
Yeah.
And you just put it up, or put one up in every room in the house.
Yeah.
And tell the kids, that's Santa Cam.
Yeah.
You don't need an elf.
That makes a lot of sense, especially in the current generation.
Yes, it does.
Yes, I like this idea. You should write that into a book and sell it to everybody.
Oh, God, because that's what happened with Elf on the Shelf.
Exactly.
Who was it that wrote that?
I don't know, because I remember having an elf on the tree whenever my brother was little.
Yeah.
My brother's 6 years younger.
Oh, sweet dear baby Jesus.
6 years younger than I am.
I'm not taking that video.
No, don't.
Now, there's a video. Apparently, the elf on a shelf paid a visit to his school, and they had a grown man dressed in the elf on the shelf costume.
I feel so sorry for him.
There's just so much wrong there.
Yes. Yes. Did they put him up on a ledge?
Yes, they did. Jesus. He's on the roof of the school, like, and the little thumb held a bit.
Oh, my God. That's horrible. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So ours just moved around the tree. And, of course, the tradition is that if you touch the elf, it dies. So then it can't report to Santa anymore. So then, you know, Santa may not know if you're good or bad, but having a dead elf probably indicates that you're bad.
Yeah, that's...
Now, for... And you have to tell kids that they will kill the elf, right?
Yeah, apparently.
Because otherwise they're going to touch it to see if it moves the next day. And some kids who are smart still do. And then, you know, that game's over. So...
Yeah, I'm trying to... I got the book pulled up on Amazon...
Uh-huh.
And it does not seem to have an author listed for the book.
How weird.
Yeah, it is. It's very bizarre. I'm trying to find the author. Because somebody... Basically what happened is that somebody decided, hey, this is right for marketing.
Yeah.
And made the book and sold the specific Elf on the Shelf we have now.
By Carol Abersold and Chandler something.
Okay.
The elf is sitting in front of it, so I can't read.
There, oh, yeah, there I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it on the picture product, yeah, but it doesn't have it in the description.
They don't actually put it in the description anymore. It's really weird. Usually with books, and they do.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is, they decided to write this book and create this sort of standard doll, which now, by the way, comes in multiple eye colors, multiple genders, multiple races, multiple...
Right. And it was originally published in 2005.
Yeah. And they did that 12 years ago.
Yeah.
For a tradition that dates much further back.
Well, yeah. Like I said, my brother is 6 years younger than I am. So this was early 80s that we had an elf on the tree that would sometimes, you know, move.
On one hand, I think it's a very clever piece of marketing.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's like, hey, wait a minute.
You just ripped off somebody else's thing.
You just totally took the football and ran with it, and it's not something you actually created.
Right.
And now they've really spun this into an empire, too.
I know. So, like I said, your Santa cams, I think there's a market there.
All right, well, that's what... Coming next year from the Haunt Weekly team... Santa cam.
Yeah.
It'll be $12 a cam.
Yeah.
I know that because I can get for $7. That's my markup for the painting and shipping.
Yeah, I will paint them or mark them in some way where they are candy cane colored.
Yeah, but this really could be a thing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I think it makes a lot more sense to go with Santa cam than elf on the shelf.
Yeah, well, and then you're not killing an elf.
Yeah.
Potentially, right? There's no way that the message gets stopped going from to Santa.
And here's the thing. If the little bugger does get a stupid idea and decide to mess with the camera, and maybe he's not connected to anything, it's a magic camera, man. It doesn't have to be connected to anything.
It's wireless.
It's wireless, yeah. You just knocked it off, and now Santa knows you're a bad boy, girl.
Yeah, exactly. This makes so much more sense. Okay, you have to do this now, because somebody listening, I'm sure, will take this and run with it.
Oh, it's not like we're doing a podcast that goes out to hundreds, if not thousands, of people in a creative industry who are also entrepreneurs. Oh, fuck.
Oh, they actually already have Santa cams out.
Okay, good. I'm no pressure.
Yeah, but they're not what you were talking about.
No.
But yeah,
I like my idea. Just a bunch of fakes. It seems so much more logical to me.
It does.
Oh, well. But anyways. So that's a whole nother series of very creepy Christmas traditions.
Yes.
You're making a very scrunched face, Crystal. What did you just see?
It's a Santa spy cam. It's an actual camera that's an ornament.
That is a terrible... terrible way to place a spy can because ornaments move.
Yes, especially if you have cats.
Yeah, about to say, I don't see how that's actually going to work.
No.
Ornaments spin, they dangle, they move. Watch the ornaments on your tree. I mean, every gust of breeze that hits them there.
Well, and it's ugly. It's
And it couldn't even make it look like a Christmas ball, just like a hockey puck.
I know. So, yeah, yours is sold
basically,
out.
Basically, you could just hang a goddamn security camera on the tree if you wanted to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, get a GoPro and mount that. And yeah. That would be better. Oh, this one went off the rails in a hurry.
Yeah, it did.
But, you know, I gotta say, out of all the creepy traditions we discussed, I think Elf on the Shelf is the creepiest.
Yeah, that's why I saved it for last.
It's really goddamn creepy to think. Because I always found Santa a little bit creepy just by himself, right?
Yeah.
The idea that he's watching you 24/7, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting, Santa.
Yeah.
You got something else you want to confess.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, more to the point, it's this thing of, you know, you have someone who's watching you, and now we're personifying it and putting it in your house.
Yeah.
And then having it magically come to life when you go to sleep.
Yep.
It just takes, like, that little bit of creepiness you have with Santa anyways,
mm-hmm.
and just explodes it and puts it right in your face.
Yeah.
It's like all the creepy parts of Santa Claus right here, right in your grill. Yeah, so I don't understand it.
No.
I've never been a fan of Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah.
Though we did have the naughty Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah. Here last year.
Here.
Yeah.
Where we would take turns moving it into other compromising positions.
Yeah. Well, I did enjoy as a kid, because since I was older than my brother, I was and knew that, you know, the truth about Santa, I was actually allowed to move the elf.
Hmm.
So I would be the one to move it, and we would rotate between me and my mom.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta have multiple people participate in the movement, because otherwise it gets very difficult to think of new spots to put it.
Right. Well, and ours stayed on the tree.
Yeah, I know, and that makes it even worse.
Yeah, it didn't move from the tree. It was lazy.
Did you ever have it, like, hugging, like, the base of the tree and looking?
Well, yeah, there's okay. that, and at the very top, and hidden in between branches and behind ornaments.
Like doing the Die Hard thing where it's like...
Yeah, basically it was a Where's Waldo of Elf on the Shelf in a tree.
Yeah, but much more limited.
Yes, and ours was green, so that helped.
Oh, that would actually help. Ida, yes.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, thank you all for joining us as we take this week to take things a little easy and discuss some spooky, horror-related Christmas traditions. Hope you found at least some of these interesting.
Yes, and not entertaining.
Yeah, hopefully we were entertaining, if nothing else.
Yes.
Once again, do take a moment, subscribe to us on Facebook and Twitter. We're Haunt Weekly on both. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly will take you to our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Subscribe there as well. And finally, you can find us at hauntweekly.com for easy subscription on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever finer podcasts are sold. So until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 107, taking a look at more creepy Christmas traditions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you guys next time.